words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. Our Bible is open to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to pick up our reading in verse number 5 and touch a little on the ministers of Christ and move on to the next section in this chapter. So bow with me for a word of prayer as we seek the Lord's face and blessing upon today's broadcast. Father, we need your touch. We need your grace to help us that we might be a help to your people. And I pray now that you would strengthen me and use me to edify the body of Christ. Lord, we love you and we bless your holy name. And we thank you for the precious gift of your Son and the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Pray the word of the Lord would have free course in our hearts and homes, in our churches, and in our nation. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Verse number 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? What a question posed by Paul to those who were boasting and saying, according to verse 4, I am of Paul. And then some others, I am of Apollos. And Paul was revealing that such a party spirit among the saints reveals their carnality. They were walking according to the fleshly nature of the believer. They were not right with God, limited in their appetite for the Word of God, and therefore limited in their abilities, being marked by immaturity, and limited in their affections. They had envy, strife, divisions, and now they were limited in their allegiance as they boasted of Paul and Apollos rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. So to this congregation, Paul says, look not to the minister, look to the master. For both minister and church member stand inferior to Christ. He is Lord. So the servitude of the minister becomes apparent. There is the insignificance of the minister and the significance of the faith. That faith which is contained in the Bible, the body of revealed doctrine and truth concerning Christ. For we are but ministers by whom ye believed. The faith becomes significant. The preacher is but the servant who brought the message. Yea, the minister is nothing more than the errand boy sent on errand by the king. All glory belongs to God, the servitude of the minister. But then the sovereignty of the master is apparent. Even, Paul said in verse 5, as the Lord gave to every man. In the context here of the ministry, we see God and His gifts, and therefore God and His grace. What have we that we have not received from God? We are what we are by the grace of God. But these saints had been given, these men, as ministers of Christ among them and for them, that they might believe. The sovereignty of the Master. God chose to send Paul, and God chose to send Apollos among the Corinthians, and they heard the word of the Lord, and they embraced the Lord of that word, and came to know Christ as Lord and as Savior, all because of the sovereignty of the Master. He, sent by the preacher with the gospel, and now a local church stands in Corinth. So from minister to member, from pulpit to pew, every man will stand and answer to the Lord, to which all men are accountable. Now we move along in our exposition to verses 6 through 9, and we notice every man's labor for which he is rewarded. Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Therefore, we see that we are laboring through grace. Without Christ, we can do nothing. It is the grace of God with us that enables us to labor. John 15, verse 5, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, if we are laboring through grace, and we are, the work is of God. Verses 6 and 7. One plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. God gives the life. We are nothing, and He is everything. Verse 7. The life that comes from the seed planted and watered is of God. He is the Lord of the harvest, takes the power of God to save the sinner and to sanctify the saint. And since we are laboring through grace, not only is the work of God, but the wage is of God. God calls us to plant. God calls us to water the seed of His precious word. He scattered His servants across the field of the world, and God Himself actually does the work with us and through us, and yet one day He will reward us as if we did the work. I see God and I see grace when I read in verse number 8, every man his own reward and his own labor. Because we are laboring through grace, we are laboring through God. Look at verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. In this joint labor, we see the human element. We are laborers. As ministers and as members, we are co-laborers with God. Praise the name of the Lord that God has chosen to involve us in His great work. What a privilege it is to serve the King. But then the divine element in this labor. Now, notice the pronoun, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We are working together with Him, but ye, the product of God's own hand in husbandry or in cultivation, is the church of the living God. The product of God's own heart in the building or in construction is the church. A builder must be able to see the finished product in the beginning before break ground on the project. The husbandman, the cultivator, the great gardener must be able to see the beauty that shall come if he should plant the seed, water the seed, and bring the life. Truly, God is the husbandman. Christ is the true vine. We are the branches. Yea, we are the building of God, and holy temple and inhabitation of God through the Spirit. What glorious truths to think that God would choose to use you, to use me, to work in the field, to work in the harvest, to be a part of this labor, and then to be rewarded for the work that built up God's husbandry and built up God's building. No wonder Paul would say, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. All of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.